as we get to know Jesus, as we ponder the Gospels, we find in him an interesting combination of strength and gentleness. And this comes up all the time. Sometimes his strength or his power or his forceful, challenging words, sometimes that's what stands out. And sometimes his tenderness, his gentleness, his meekness, sometimes that's what stands out. In today's gospel, you get a little bit of both. In the beginning, it's Jesus' firm determination. He drives out the demon. The crowds are amazed. He doesn't pay any attention to them. The Pharisees accuse him of being in league with the devil. He doesn't pay any attention to them. It's as if nothing's going to stop him from doing his mission. And he goes all around, all the synagogues, all the villages. He's proclaiming the kingdom. He's curing diseases, driving out demons. He's a man on a mission. And nothing's going to distract him. Now, this part, I think we can recognize, is also part of our call. We saw this on Sunday when Jesus sent out the disciples two by two. He said, go out and do this mission. Don't even greet anyone on the way. And don't go looking around for a better place to stay. Just do your work. If someone accepts you, okay, stay there and do your work. If they don't accept you, shake off the dust and move on. And it's one of those passages where Jesus sounds rather harsh. He said, well, those towns who are rejecting you, it'll be worse for them than for Sodom. But his point is, don't get caught up in resentment, don't get distracted, do your mission. Be strong, be convinced. Okay, so that's one side of Jesus. He's a man on a mission, and that's what makes him so challenging sometimes, because you can't make him do it differently. But then as he goes around, we see the gentle side of Jesus, the good shepherd. His heart is moved with pity for the crowds, the poor crowds, the troubled crowds, the abandoned people, like sheep without a shepherd. He says, I have to be their shepherd. These people need me. In fact, they need more. They need others. So pray for more laborers. You can see that comes not from the strong, well, it's not that it's not strong, but it comes from this tender heart of Jesus. So he's both. He's both. And this is how we encounter him. When we encounter a challenging word, we're running face to face with the determination of God to do what's good, including what's good for us, whether we like it or not. And then when we are troubled, or when we're experiencing the word of God as a consoling, strengthening message, we say, well, see how much he loves us. He'll do anything for us because he's our good shepherd. The first reading brings us to our side of this encounter. Yes, Jesus, God, is both powerful and meek, but we are sometimes strong and sometimes weak and sometimes determined and sometimes distracted. And here we have this fascinating story of Jacob as he's about to cross over back into the promised land. And he wrestles with some man. It's a very intriguing story, but the background is Jacob, who we saw in yesterday's reading, he was running away. He was running away. He encountered God in the shrine in Bethel and said, well, if God is with me, when I get back, he'll be my God. Well, he was away for some 20 years or so. And if you get a chance, you should read these chapters of Genesis, chapter, I don't know, 30, 31, 32. And you hear the story of Jacob's adventures outside the promised land, but in together with his relative, Laban. And he meets his two wives. And you know that story where he wants to marry one, he wants to marry Rachel, and instead he gets Leah. Sorry, Leah. and he works 7 years to get Rachel, and then all of a sudden he finds Leah in his bed. It's a turnabout right? Remember, Jacob was the one who pretended to be Esau. So he was the trickster. Now he's being tricked. And he gets it back. But he ends up getting both wives and their maids, or their servants, who become his concubines. And so he ends up with 4 women and 11 children. And he finally is told by the Lord, now go back home. Go back home. And so he's on his way back home. And this is where the story picks up here. He brings his wives and his children across the Jabbok. I don't know, that's some minor stream, but it's the boundary between the entry into the promised land. And then, I don't know why he goes back to the other side, and he's left there alone. So he's alone with himself, with his desire to do what's right, with his fear about meeting his brother Esau, who's coming to greet him with 400 men, and he doesn't know what he's going to face. He's convinced that God wants him to do this, but he thinks it's a bad idea. And then he encounters this man. Some man wrestled with him until the break of dawn. So it's an all-night wrestling match with somebody. And this is where it gets fascinating. Who is this guy? It starts out, he's identified as a man. Then he's identified as an angel. Then he's identified as God himself. But not obviously, not clearly. So it's a wrestling match with someone who represents the will of God. And for us, it's symbolic of our own wrestling with God, our own struggle to do the will of God. Just because we know the will of God doesn't mean it's easy for us to do it. In fact, it's very often challenging. This man, angel, whoever it is not an evil force. It's not like when we struggle with temptation, or it is like that, but I mean, sometimes there are evil suggestions that we have to fight against. This seems, though, to be a divine messenger. And so why does he have to wrestle with him? Doesn't he agree with the will of God? Maybe Jacob was having second thoughts. And maybe this angel was sent to force him to cross over, to continue the journey. And Jacob was not sure whether he wanted to do it or not. Well, they wrestle all night long, and it ends up being a draw, that neither one wins. I hope you can apply this to your own experience, because in the literal reading of it, it's just kind of mysterious. But in our own experience, it's very real. Oh, I think God wants me to go and talk to that guy. But yeah, but he might get mad. Well, then I don't want to do it. Well, but yeah, but that's God's will. But yeah, but it would be bad for me. It'd be better not to do it. And then you get into this interior wrestling match with the will of God, the natural fears, the rationalizations that maybe you can come up with a better way, and all kinds of confusion. And these things go on in us all the time. When we're facing a big decision, I've seen people go through this when they're discerning whether to marry or not. And maybe you've done this yourself, I mean, those of you who are married. It's not that easy to get married. Maybe you love the person. Maybe it seems like it's God's will for you to marry, but on the other hand, what if it goes bad? What if this guy turns out to be a jerk? What if he dies? What if we don't have any children? What if this? What if that? And there's a lot of frightening possibilities which are out of our control. And how do we go forward? How do we cross this ford of the Jabbok? How do we enter into the promised land? Well, it's not easy. Okay, so this is a symbolic way, or you could use this as a symbol of our own struggle with God, our own struggle with the spiritual life. Jacob gets 2 things out of this. He gets a new name, and he gets a wounded hip. So this is, again, profound if you can ponder it a little bit. As we cling to God, we are both transformed, we're made more, We've been given a new name, that's the symbolic, a new mission, a new person, but we're also humbled. Our weaknesses are exposed. We limp along. We can't do it by ourselves. And this is what happens to us as we journey. Yes, it's the right way to go, and yes, it makes us more. If we're following the will of God, our life does change. We change. Maybe we're not literally given a new name, but it does happen sometimes, especially go back to marriage. Those women here who are married, your name changed. At least that's what it used to be. Now women don't get their names changed. But I mean, the idea of a change of name is symbolic of a new beginning, a new life. And that's very important. When you start something new, we're like a new person, so a new beginning. But on the other hand, we have this wound in our hip. We can't really walk straight. We're weak. We can't go running around doing things the way we used to. We can't even run at all. We're limping. And God allows that. God, for some reason, doesn't give us the strength to do everything the way we want. He limits us, as if to remind us of our dependence on Him. Okay, so this is what happens to Jacob, whose new name is Israel. One of the key lines is, "I will not let you go until you bless me." I will not let you go until you bless me. You're trying to force me across the river. I'm going to force you to give me a blessing. Of course, we don't force God to do anything, but we can cling to God. We cannot give up in our spiritual journey. Cling to God. Hold on to God. Don't let Him go until it's clear that His blessing gives us the strength to go forward, even with a limp. So better to go forward with a blessing and a limp than to not go forward and remain physically healthy. Better to go forward humbled, because then we're dependent on God and our mission can be successful, than to rely on ourselves and not have the blessing of God. Well, he does get the blessing, but the blessing is the change of name. And then when he asks this mysterious figure, "What is your name?" The guy says, "Why should you want to know my name?" That's no answer. That's how God sometimes answers us. He answers us with a question. We ask a question, he gives another question. And then, last little detail here, Jacob named the place Peniel, but in the next verse it's called Penuel. Well, which one is it? We don't know. There are two different versions of the same place. It's mysterious. And this is the way it is. We don't have absolute certainty about a lot of things. But what we have is clinging to God until we get the blessing. What we have is confidence in God, reliance on God. This is where the more we do this, the more we become like Jesus himself, both strong and gentle. Because when he changes us into a likeness of himself, to be determined to do his will, to cling to him and through the whole night's wrestling match of life, but at the same time, to be humble. To recognize the need of others. Okay, so this is a fascinating journey that we're on. It's really the adventure of the spiritual life. So don't give up. Be strong and gentle. Cling to God. Wait for the blessing. Let him lead you into the promised land.